Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Our speaker today is Dr. Randy Yeagley, chairman of the Division of Bible at BJU. The title of his message is Guard Your Heart. The text is from Matthew 15, verses 1 through 20, and Proverbs 4, verse 23.
Dr. Randy Yeagley is preaching for us. He's asked that we read from Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees which were of Jerusalem, saying, Why do the disciples transgress the tradition of the elders, for they wash not their hands when they eat bread? But he answered and said unto them, Why do ye also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well does Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitude and said unto them, Hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind, leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, Are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out in the draught? But those which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. May the Lord bless His Word as it's preached to us today.
This morning we're going to talk about the heart in the book of Proverbs. You know, there's a lot of concern these days about the heart. Now, we're going to talk about not the physical organ, but rather the spiritual one. But there's a lot of talk even about the physical organ of the heart in today's world of medicine. I just had my blood work done the other day. I'm going to be meeting with Dr. Harris next week, and he's going to probably tell me my cholesterol is too high. I don't know what else he's going to tell me, but maybe my HDL-LDL cholesterol level is out of sync. Maybe I need to get on some kind of cholesterol-reducing thing. Who knows? But these days, there's a lot of concern about that. You can do without some of your organs. You can do without your appendix. Perhaps some of you have had your appendix removed. You're still living, still doing well. But if that positive displacement pump, known as your heart, quits pumping, you don't have very long left. So we see, from the physical standpoint, the importance of the heart physically. Well, there is a corresponding spiritual aspect to that. Our hearts are of utmost importance. Turn, if you would please, in your Bibles with me to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. We are going to see today the crucial need that we must guard our hearts. And in our passage, key passage here, Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Now, in this verse, there are two ways that Solomon emphasizes the importance of guarding your heart. Literally, the verse says, more than anything, more than all, guard your heart. Okay? More than all guarding, it says, watch over your heart. So there are two words here for the concept of being very careful about your heart. More than all guarding, the word here has the idea of somebody who would watch somebody in prison and make sure he doesn't get out. More than all guarding, watch over your heart. The second word, watch over, has the idea of being very careful not to let somebody in somewhere who doesn't belong there. Turn, if you would please, to Isaiah chapter 27. Isaiah uses this concept of being careful not to let somebody in who doesn't belong there. Isaiah 27 verse 2 says, I, the Lord, do keep it. I will water it every moment, speaking about this end time vineyard, a vineyard of red wine. I, the Lord, do keep it. There's our word from Proverbs 4:23 for watching over something. I will water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I will keep it night and day. There's our word once again for watching over something. God will keep it. He'll watch over it, lest anyone come into that vineyard to harm it. All right, so Proverbs 4:23 then tells us, more important than anything else in life is that you guard your heart and watch it. Be very careful of what comes out. Guard very carefully what goes in. Why? Well, notice the last part of the verse. Because from it, from the heart, flows out everything that happens in life. Our hearts are the very control center of everything we do, everything we say. And therefore, we must be very careful to guard the control center of our lives. Now, let's take a look at how the book of Proverbs uses this concept of the heart. When we think of the heart in English, we might think of perhaps emotional life of a person. We might say, oh, that's a big-hearted person. In other words, he has a large capacity for emotion, perhaps. I used to have a heart trap. We had a problem with squirrels in our yard, so I bought a have-a-heart trap. Now, somebody who buys a have-a-heart trap is a big-hearted person. He's not going to set a trap, and the poor little squirrel's going to wander in there, and the thing's going to snap, wham, and kill him instantly. No, no, no. A have-a-heart trap is a big wire-mesh affair with ends that open and stay propped open until the little squirrel wanders in there, put a little something that he likes on a trip pan, and when that squirrel applies some pressure, both sides of the trap come down and shut. And he's in there, but you didn't hurt him as long as you check the trap periodically. Unfortunately, one time we went on vacation and a poor hapless squirrel wandered in the thing, probably close to the time after we left on vacation. By the time I got back, the poor little critter had starved or died of thirst or something. There he was in my have-a-heart trap. So it didn't protect him anyway, but that's the idea. Somebody who has a heart is somebody who is going to be very careful to have the right kind of emotional response. But the Word of God uses the concept of heart to be much more inclusive than just a person's emotions. Turn, if you would please, with me to Proverbs chapter 4. We're going to see, first of all, the reason why it's important to guard our hearts is because this is the center of our intellectual activity. Proverbs 4, verse 1. Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, good teaching, forsaking not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. Notice, please, in these verses, the key thing, the heart can perceive instruction. It can pay attention to good doctrine. The heart responds to teaching. The heart can retain words. And therefore, we conclude that the heart is centering in here on intellectual capacity, intellectual capability. Now, let's apply Proverbs 4:23 to our intellectual capacity. How do we guard what comes into our thinking and what comes out? Well, how do you guard what comes into your brain? You have to be very careful what kind of sources of information you expose yourself to. Now, unfortunately, we are bombarded by literally thousands of different pieces of data every day. Where do they come from? Well, data comes to us from the newspaper, from the radio, from television, from all kinds of print media, from friends, from work associates. Why, all day long, we are hit with all kinds of ideas. Now, there are some good sources of information, and there are some not-so-good sources. But no matter what the source of the information, we have to be very careful that we check that information according to the Scripture. What does the Bible say about this idea that we have heard? You know, even sometimes well-meaning people can steer us the wrong way. In unguarded moments, even the wisest individual can say something that could be extremely deleterious to a person's thinking. Now, we all, hopefully, are careful in this area, but people are listening to us. And so what we say and how we instruct people is very important. So we have to continually watch what comes in to our minds, and we have to seek out good sources for it. Of course, lots of things today from the music and entertainment industry and from all kinds of entertainment sources out there, they are seeking to work to establish a particular thought process in our minds. And if we're not careful, we'll just sort of begin to say, well, this seems to be the prevailing view, so I guess I can believe it. We must always check information according to the Scripture. Now, President Clinton appointed an ambassador who is a very prominent avowed homosexual activist, representing the United States as our ambassador. He did it while Congress was on recess so that he would not have to go through a confirmation process of this individual. And so here we are once again. We are bombarded by information which would make it seem as if, well, perhaps it's okay for a person to be this kind of avowed homosexual activist and representing the United States. And we have to check that according to the Scripture. And I don't know about you, but that infuriates me, because I know what the Bible says about homosexuality. And 99.9% of American people can tell me that's an okay alternate lifestyle. And I say, not according to the Word of God, it's not. You're not going to influence my thinking to accept that as an established, well-thought-of alternative lifestyle. That is wicked. It is sin. And so, daily, we have to always go to the Word of God and check out the thoughts that we're being we're being hit with. And make sure we guard our hearts. Now, we should not only be cautious about what goes into our heart, but as well what comes out of the heart. Turn, if you would please, to Matthew chapter 15. We're going to take a look at the verse that Dr. Gustafson read. And this is where our Savior is telling the Pharisees they have a bad problem. They are so concerned with externals. They think if they're doing the right external things, they must be okay on the inside. And our Savior says, no, you have a bad problem. You don't realize, verse 18, those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man. Okay, so part of guarding our hearts is not only to take care of what goes in, but as well to watch carefully what comes out. Because what comes out is an indication of the condition of our heart. Now, let's say you have a person and he starts having chest pains. And he gets shortness of breath, and pain shoots down the left side of his arm. And he's been maybe halfway through his 2-mile run of the morning, and all of a sudden he just stops still in his tracks and feels like he's just going to fall over. Well, you say, somebody like that would be foolish to go on running. He's having a heart attack, perhaps. He needs to get to the hospital fast so that somebody can help him. He's checked on his heart condition, and it's not good. Well, similarly, when we have particular thoughts, or when particular words come out of our mouth, or we would like for a particular word to come out of our mouths, we have to be very careful to realize, hey, those thoughts that we're having, or those words that we just spoke or would have liked to have spoken, they're indicating that there's a heart problem in terms of what's going on in our minds. Our mind is not thinking correctly. It's not thinking scriptural thoughts. It's not thinking after God. It's thinking in a wrong way, because wrong actions and wrong words come from a mind condition that does not match the standard of what the Word of God would specify. Very important, we watch what comes out. You know, in a quiet moment, for instance, when no one much is around and not much is occupying your time, where does your mind naturally go? Does it run to violence, sensuality, or the kinds of things that the Scripture condemns? Or is your mind drawn to the Lord, His Word, meditation on righteousness? These things are determinative of where we're headed, because it's so important to guard your intellectual functions, because out of your heart flows the issues of life. What you think is ultimately how you're going to act. And so we have to be checking up on ourselves routinely, taking our spiritual pulse, taking our spiritual blood count, if you will, to see what is the condition there of our minds. Romans 12, verse 2 tells us that we ought not to be conformed to this world, but rather we ought to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. You can substitute the concept of heart there. We need a supernatural work of God's grace to transform our intellectual ability, to transform what we think about, what we meditate on. You see, after the fall of man into sin, man's heart condition has been terrible. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 tells us that before the flood, the Lord looked on man, and he saw that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And our hearts haven't gotten any better since then. Jeremiah 17:9 tells us the heart is deceitful and incurably sick. Who can know it? You see, our hearts are so deceptive. They will fool us into thinking that we're really doing pretty well when all we're really doing is just being led astray this way or that way by whatever cunning idea is out there, whatever craftiness of men or satanic, devilish idea is out there to lead men astray. If we're not careful, we'll fall into thinking of those things and fool ourselves into thinking, oh, that's really wonderful. That's a wonderful thought, because we have deceitful hearts and they are incurably that way from the human standpoint. Jeremiah 17:10 says, I, the Lord, know the heart. You see, He knows how to fix our hearts. He can do a divine work in our hearts of transformation if we will continually expose ourselves to the means of His grace to do this, which is the Scripture. Okay, the second reason why it's important to guard our hearts, not only is the heart the seat of intellectual ability, it's also the seat of emotional activity. Turn, if you would please, with me to Proverbs chapter 14, verse 10. Proverbs 14:10. Here Solomon tells us, the heart knoweth his own bitterness, and a stranger doth not intermeddle with its joy. See, here we have emotions, bitterness, joy. A person privately, see, Solomon says, knows bitterness of heart. And a stranger can't share in the heart's joy, because this is a function internally of man's heart. Over in Proverbs 15, verse 13, just one chapter away, the Scripture says, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. So, how do we guard our hearts in this regard? Well, we have to be very careful to check our emotional conditions day by day. Are we manifesting the joy of the Lord? Or are we going around like some kind of morosely depressed individuals? Back where I used to teach, I worked with a person who quite often, he was very, very depressed. I'd see this person first thing in the morning. I'd say hi to him. It would make my blood run cold. He had a lot of problems, and there were days when just to see him would make me depressed just to look at what he was like. You see, unless you have a particular chemical problem in your brain or some particular physiological problem, being depressed is not normal for a Christian. And so you see yourself being depressed, it's time to check up on your heart. Why is this depression coming out of the heart? What are you doing there? What is leading to this depression? Where's the wrong thinking? Where's the wrong actions? Has the Lord been dealing with you about something and you have just sort of turned a deaf ear to that? Well, those are the kinds of things that can lead to depression instead of the joy of the Lord. And then, of course, what kind of activities is your heart drawn to? What do you delight in? That tells you volumes about your heart condition. When you hear someone tell an off-color joke, or you're watching television and something is wrong there, is your first reaction turn the thing off, turn the channel, rebuke the person for telling a joke like that? Or does your heart rejoice in that? Oh, yeah, that's really funny. Or, yeah, that's wrong, but I'm enjoying it. You see, when we can have a positive emotional experience with things that the Bible declares are wrong, then we have a heart problem that needs being remedied. What would you think of a person? And you're out jogging with him, and all of a sudden he's all out of breath, and he's clutching the left part of his chest, and he's saying, "Oh, I think I'm having a heart attack." What do you say to him? "Nah, just run faster. Let's pick up the pace." No, somebody who's having a heart attack requires immediate attention. And yet, as Christians, we can manifest spiritual heart problems, and we say, "Oh, well, c'est la vie. So, not so important here." No, sorry, it's very important. And so when we find ourselves manifesting a positive emotion towards scriptural error or towards entertainment or ideas or music that is against the scripture, we have a serious internal problem that must be addressed. Next, and finally, the reason why it's important to guard our hearts is because our heart is the place where we make up our minds what we're going to do. The heart is the center of man's volition. Turn, if you would please, with me to Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." The heart is oriented towards determining what we do. You see, we can choose to keep God's commandments. That's a function of the heart. And so, what we will to do is extremely important. Do you find yourself willing to do God's will, and yet it seems as if the first time a temptation comes along to violate God's word, you succumb very readily? Well, that's a heart problem. That needs to be addressed. You just can't let that go on. That needs some attention, some immediate attention, because the Christian ought to will to do God's will, just like the Savior who said, "Behold, it's written in the book, I am come to do thy will, O God." And just like that was our Savior's purpose, that ought to be our purpose. And when we set our will to obey the Scripture, and we are easily led astray from that, and we have no resolve, and we're very weak-willed, then that requires attention, immediate attention. Well, what kind of remedy is there for the wrong kind of heart condition? You say, "Well, I can think of an area of my life where my thinking is struggled here lately." I don't know what it is. Perhaps you have trouble thinking about an injustice that you perceive you've experienced, and somehow you just can't get that out of your mind, and you mull that over and over again, and you plot revenge on the person. Whoa, that's wicked thinking. That's got to be dealt with. Perhaps you have been having trouble with your emotional response or your will to accomplish a particular thing, and you say, "Yeah, I can see some areas in my life where, you know, I really haven't been guarding my heart very carefully in these matters. What do I do?" Well, glad you asked that question. First of all, turn, if you would please, with me to Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs 23, 26. "My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. Now, this was spoken by Solomon to his sons. This is the loving father desiring for his children that they listen carefully to what he says. And so he says to them, look, yield to me your mind. Yield to me your emotions. Yield to me your will. And learn of me and watch my ways and imitate them. But just as Solomon as a loving earthly father could do that and command that of his sons, so our heavenly Father says to us, give me your heart. Don't give it to the newspaper. Don't give it to your close friend. Don't give it to the entertainment industry. Give it to me. Come to the Scripture and delight yourself in the Word of God. Learn what the right path is for your life. Yield your mind to the control of the Scripture and the Holy Spirit. And then you're going to find that your emotions will follow along and your will be established to do God's will. Give me your heart, the Heavenly Father says. Don't keep it for yourself. Why, what does Proverbs say about a person who keeps his own heart? He is a fool. Proverbs 28:26. He who trusts in his own heart is a what? A fool. You see, because our own way of thinking and our own emotional responses and what we delight in, everything is wrong, naturally speaking. Stop to think, in any given situation, what's your first impulse probably going to be? Wrong. Your own fleshly instincts are at every point diametrically opposed to the will and purpose of God. So if somebody does something to you that you don't like, your first impulse is, I'll get back at him. I'll do something compensatorily bad to him, or maybe I'll raise the stake a little bit and I'll do something worse to him than he did to me. He'll see. Nobody does this to me and gets away with it. And so that kind of thinking is wrong. It needs to be confessed and then our thinking yielded to the Word of God, which tells us the right response. Do good to those who persecute you. Pray for those who despitefully use you. Return blessing for cursing. The response of our Savior was meek and always willing to have no place in his heart for bitterness. And that ought to be our response too. So, my son, give me thine heart means that we're going to have to relinquish our control of our own minds, emotions, and wills and let the Lord take over. That's what it means to be transformed through the renewing of our minds. Who does the transformation? Do we do that? I declare we can't. The only kind of transformation, the only sort of metamorphosis there is, the only remedy to our natural, deceitful heart condition is the supernatural grace of God. No other source of it. David prayed in Psalm 51:10, Lord, create in me a clean heart. The right kind of heart is a divine creation. You know, we take a look at Genesis and we say, oh, it's so marvelous the way God just spoke the worlds into existence. Just said, let there be light. And there was light. And we marvel at the Lord's creative ability in making all the multiform creatures on the face of the earth today. And we go out into the woods and we look at all the marvelous ways the animals interact with their environment. We look at the beauty of their environment. And we say, oh, God is just so marvelous in his creative ability. Do you realize God can be marvelous in his creative ability in your heart and in mine? Right now, today, we can experience this creative, marvelous power of God. It's something we must experience. So the Lord says, give me your heart. Yield it over to me. Let the Scripture be of supreme authority to you. Live in dependence upon the transforming power of my Spirit, and things will be right in your heart. Next, and finally, we must trust in the Lord with all our heart. Look at Proverbs 3, verse 5. Well-known passage. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. You know what our basic problem is as human beings? We are so stinking proud, we think we know what to do. We think we can run our lives. We can run the show. You mark it down, at the center of every heart problem is pride. We haven't gone to the Lord and said, Lord, I don't want to trust my own heart. I want to trust your word. I don't want to lean to my own understanding. I want to place my life on the solid rock of your understanding. My heart is deceitful, Lord. Please show me the truth that will not deceive me. My heart is incurably sick. Lord, be the great physician. And let me have a heart, a mind, emotions, and will that are set to do thy will, to please thee, and to glorify thee. Guard your heart, folks, because out of it flow the issues of life. Out of our hearts is what's coming in our lives. Now, is there a particular thing that you can think of? Wrong actions, wrong emotions, your will set on the wrong thing? Don't pass that by and say, well, must not be too important. It's very important. Don't leave here this morning until you have decided by the Lord's transforming grace, I'm going to take care of this heart problem I have, and I'm going to live for God's glory. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Our Father, there may be some folks today who have needs. They realize that they've been thinking wrong thoughts. They have not confessed these. They have not gotten the Word of God in their heart concerning right thoughts in that area. Somebody here may be rejoicing in the wrong kinds of things in their heart. I pray that thou wilt help them to repudiate that kind of a wrong emotional response and seek to have thee do a work of transformation. Perhaps somebody has set his or her will to do something that is against thy word. I pray that thou'lt help each one to decide that they are going to trust thee.
You've been listening to The Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Dr. Randy Yeagley, chairman of the Division of Bible at BJU. For a cassette copy of today's message, send a check for $6 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.